they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. A great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will say, begin to say, 'Do the mountains fall upon us, and to the hills cover us?' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death, and they had come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand, and the other on the left." Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom as we look at this section of Scripture and ask for your guidance. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Actually, something occurs to me I wanted to say before we look at this. I wanted to revisit very briefly Jeremiah 29 when we talked about the strategy, a biblical political strategy. And we're going to come back to those things later, but I guess they're not specifically lined out for a particular time. But let me just read to you this passage, and I should have done this first. But this is the letter that Jeremiah sent, and it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your daughters, for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray for the Lord for it, for in this peace you will have peace." And he goes on. The letter is longer than that, of course. And we'll come back and read this text again, but I forgot about it. I wanted to say something on this. Just to develop that a bit more, I said that the idea here was the people in captivity who were called to take dominion and to then support their oppressors. And I was talking about a biblical strategy, but one of the things I want to make clear is that the strategy should be something that is developed at the local level. What I would like, and I think what most Christians, if they understand what the Bible teaches, would like to see is that in any given town you have a church that meets in a variety of places, I should say. They might be Baptist, they might be Presbyterian, they might be whatever, congregational or something. But they would be Bible-believing churches. Now, why do we have different denominations, just as an aside? And I think the reason is because God is preserving things that we think we know everything. And if you're a Baptist or a Pedo-Baptist or whatever, you tend to believe that any deviation from that position is heresy. But the Bible is a difficult book on many levels, and so I believe that God has given us denominations at this point in the history of the church for the purpose of preserving things that might otherwise be lost if there was this simple, at this point in history, a monolithic expression of the body of Christ without any local flavor or denominational differences. There would be some things, I believe, that would be left out. But as it is, we can come together on the basic idea of Christ as King, Christ as the current ruler of the universe, and the gospel of salvation, the only way to bring mankind into relationship with God the Father. If we can agree on some of these basic things, then we have the Church of Cottonwood, for instance. And the Church in Cottonwood is made up of this small group and that other small group, which is not quite as small, over there in the Baptist Church. And I think there's folks in the Catholic Church who would understand the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm not a Catholic basher, but I do believe that as a whole, Roman Catholicism, there are too many differences, obviously, and we couldn't say that as a whole Roman Catholicism would be orthodox. But the church in Cottonwood should have a strategy. Our strategy should be to recognize that our strategy, if I can say the word correctly, should be to recognize that we are a people under siege. I mean this spiritually. Much like when we read the Psalm 109, 1 through 10, and as we continue to read that psalm, we are reading about a people who are under assault. We are as well, spiritually, of course, I'm speaking. I'm not talking about at this point in time, we are not having to worry about our physical well-being in this country. That might change someday. I pray that it will not. But we need a strategy as Christians, as a church in Cottonwood, as the church in the Camas Prairie region, as a church in the state of Idaho, and indeed across the country. But how many of you think it'd be easier to have a strategy for the church in Cottonwood than it would be for a strategy for the church in the United States of America? Of course it'd be easier. This is a town of less than 1,000 people. Likewise, it would be easier to have a strategy in the church in the whatever congressional district this is. So the point I'm making is that Christians, when I say the church, what I mean there is not that the church would be politically active as much as the church is the training ground. This is where we're supposed to learn about how to go out there and take dominion. And so the strategy would be something that church leadership would come together and hash out, and it would be very simple. We're not going to, it wouldn't be detailed as much as it would just be basic. And that strategy would be things such as we need to teach certain things to our people, and we need to encourage them to do certain things as they take dominion. The church is not supposed to be ramrodding political policy or so forth. The church is supposed to be teaching people. In fact, the church, I'm speaking as a whole, but the church is not really supposed to give a whole lot of direction concerning politics as much as it is to provide the foundation for a solid understanding of politics. Now, I'm more of a teacher than a pastor. I'm not really a pastor at all. I'm really a teacher. And so I like to teach things and get into the details on, say, politics or whatever, and that's fine. But generally speaking, the church is given the responsibility to lay a foundation. Here is how you take dominion. Here is how you interpret scripture to understand it, we're talking politics, to apply God's law to this society and so forth. And so the church in Cottonwood should have a strategy. Here's what we want to teach our people. And here's what we want to encourage them to do. And then the people do it. They can band together, we can band together, as whatever organization we want. Maybe part of the strategy that would be developed by the Christians in this community, apart from the church, in the sense that the church wouldn't be saying, hey, let's do this, but Christians might say, well, you know what, rather than start a third party, why don't we take over the local expression of Party A or Party B? And our goal would be, at that point, as part of our strategy, to elect someone to the county commissioner seat here in this county, and to also try to get somebody in the Idaho Senate and Idaho House from this area who is a godly representative. What is that godly representative? Well, according to the strategy that we've decided upon, is someone who understands how to take God's word and make use of it to govern, to be that servant that God says they should be in Romans 13. To take that and then teach it to people. Now, again, really to get this done, we would need some systematic teaching on all these different areas. We'd have questions. People say, well, how do I take dominion in my business? Well, let's teach on that specifically. We have a class, Your Dominion Business. Well, how do I take dominion in my family? Well, here's how you take dominion in your family. How do I take dominion in the political realm? I've always loved politics. How do I do it? Well, here's how you take dominion in the political realm. Well, what about in medicine? We got a hospital right over here, and I'm a doctor, and I want to know what it is that I'm supposed. Well, here's how you take dominion in the realm of science and medicine, and on and on and on. And so you'd have a series of classes that may not be quite so narrow, but would teach how to take dominion. That's part of the strategy. Again, the church, The world would say, oh, the church, you're trying to take control. No, we're not trying to take control as a church. We're trying to take control of our arena of activity as Christians. And that's taking dominion. Remember what we said dominion was? Dominion has nothing to do with force at all, ever. You don't force anything. Well, my kids might think, well, you're forcing me to, you know, do the chores. Well, that's different. That's dominion, yes, but that's different. And depending on the household, you know, there may be the liberal use of the rod or they may not. I don't advocate the dispensing with corporal punishment by any means, but I do advocate moderation, especially in my age and wisdom. Right, Gloria? Gloria would say, absolutely. The other kids would say, no, that's not the way it was when we were kids. But strategies can change. So the church is teaching people how to take dominion. Say, here's a class on, and again, let's focus on politics, because that happens to be history and politics are two of my, and theology. Those are really my three interests. I love theology, I love history, I love politics. Not to be a politician, but I just love the game, if you will, was how to play that. But a Christian strategy in this area would be to develop leaders. What's the name of the, it kind of grew out of, it's Patrick Henry. And they have, that's what they're doing, is training people. What are they have some kind of a summer, and I'm blanking out on this because it just popped in my head a minute, just at this moment. But Patrick Henry College is basically a place where they train political leaders. It's a Christian school. Now, I don't know what their curriculum is like, but I hope that they're not just training people to be kind and generous. Because that's not a good strategy for politics. Yeah, you can be kind and generous, but you need to say, if you want to have a good strategy for politics, what do I do with the books of Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus? What do I do with that? If I'm going to be a good politician, if I'm going to be a godly politician, I need to know what to do with that stuff. Most Christians don't know what to do with that stuff. And so our strategy would include classes on these things, and taking dominion is simply serving self-sacrificially, building the house, doing the garden, raise the family, and to then support your oppressors. Well, here's where it starts to get a little bit sticky. That's simply taking that area of arena of activity and expanding it in that area of special talent and ability. Everybody has the duty to make their house, garden, and family good unto God, good for God's purposes, kingdom, house, family, and again, these are illustrative terms, house, the way, what you do there, how do you run that home, your garden is the commerce that you're involved in, family is more than just your nuclear family, it's the alliances that you might establish, if I can use that term, which would have been appropriate for the Jews in those days, that you might create between families by giving and taking in marriage. But dominion, a dominion strategy says once you get beyond that, or once you have that taken care of, then you begin to thrust forward in different areas of talent and ability. And you got to have a strategy for that. Joe Smith might have a real ability as not only a gardener, but he's a darn good businessman. And so he's going to take his dominion mandate into this area of a lawn and garden store, maybe a landscaping business or something like that. And he's going to make a land, but he has to have a strategy. How do you do a business in a dominion way? What is it like? Is it right to be green? Or is that just a fad? Should I be concerning myself with the environment? Yes, I should. In what way? And so forth. There has to be a strategy here. How is Joe Smith going to run his business in a way that will be different from every other lawn and garden store or every other landscaping business or whatever he has then that's already out there? So to support your oppressors means, why does that support your oppressors? Because what does that solid kingdom business do? Think about the Puritans. What were they known for? They made a lot of money. Why? Because they worked as unto the Lord. I mean, if you want to read a good, just a very brief general synopsis of the Puritans, read Leland Ryken's, The Puritans as They Really Were, or something, what's it called? Worldly Saints. And then I think the subtitle might be something about the Puritans. Worldly Saints by Leland Ryken. It's pretty old. It's been around since, I don't know, 90, maybe something like that. And that'll give you a good picture, because the Puritans have gotten a bad rap. But that's what this Joe Smith is doing. He's over here, and he's supporting his oppressors. How? And again, we're talking at this point in time. We are oppressed. We are in a nation that is not pro-Christian. It is anti-Christian. We are in a nation that has an organized religion, a state religion, that is secular humanism. The public schools are the expression of the national church on the local level. And so, to do a good job, and the scripture very plainly says, pay your taxes. So what's he doing? He's supporting his oppressors. He's out here doing a good job. He makes a good income, and he pays a hefty tax if he's doing a good job. He's going to pay well over the 9% that should be maximum combined tax of the state. That's the point that Samuel was making when he told the Israelites that when you have a king, he's going to take 10%. And that's a curse. If the state takes as much as God, they're saying, well, we're God. The state is God. And so if you were to combine all the taxes that we pay, it'd be well over. I mean, just take your income tax, your sales tax, your property tax, the tax that you pay on your car when you get a license or when you buy a driver's license, the tax that you pay on your gasoline, the tax that you pay on food, and on and on and on. You take all those taxes and add them up. I don't know what the average is, but you know, somewhere around 40%. In this state, I mean, I don't know what it is for sure. You're supporting your oppressors when you pay taxes. Now, you can be a tax patriot, which is contrary to God's word, and you can hide out, or you can just hide out in the hills and just live off the land, which would still be contrary to God's word, because you're supposed to be taking dominion. That isn't taking dominion. That's, ironically, that's a lot like the charismatics. They don't hide in the woods, but they hide behind phenomena. Most Christians hide behind something. The two-kingdom approach, for instance. So the strategy is to support your oppressors, to create an environment wherein you might have a success, to create an environment wherein you might have health, and to create an environment wherein you have the ability to prosper. That's to support your oppressors. Pray for your oppressors and pray for their peace, and pray for that you be good. Excuse me. Pray for the city that you are in, pray for his peace, because it's in their peace that you have peace, is what Jeremiah says. So that's the strategy. Learn how to do this, and then to support your oppressors is to move into positions where you are beginning to do good in society. Beyond your small arena of activity of family and home, you then reach out into society and shore it up, prop it up. So, well, aren't we propping up a godless state? Yes and no. What we're doing is learning to rule, to take dominion. And yes, we're supposed to pay taxes. God said these authorities were given by God. These authorities are put in place by God. So your taxes are supporting. Well, why would God put into power someone like Nebuchadnezzar, who is and by the way, people say, well, there's an article recently that was written that was suggesting that we, in fact, there's an entire movement. I think it's called a Kingdom Something movement, and it's heretical. If you ever hear the names of Jack Deere or I'm blanking out. Who's the? Maybe the Lord doesn't want me to say their names out here in public. That might be improper or gossip. I don't know. But there's a whole. It has roots in the charismatic movement. And their goal is to take over, much like the Mormons, by the way, whose goal is to place people in positions of power and then take over. And this heretical movement is called Kingdom Something, which is unfortunate because it isn't kingdom, it's demonic is what it is, it's satanic. To suggest that we will take power in positions of authority and then from the top down implement dominion. Say, you will do what we tell you to do. And that's totally and absolutely and completely wrong. I cannot express my disgust over that kind of a so-called kingdom. That is not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of Satan. That's called power religion, which is exactly what Satan is all about. Power. Not about self-sacrifice. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Quiet self-sacrifice. By the way, if you want to understand taking dominion within your arena of activity, it requires self-sacrifice. Thinking of others more highly than yourself. It is as simple as that. If you want to be successful as Joe Smith, the landscape expert, you think of others more highly than yourself. What is best for my client? The politician, what is best for my constituents? Not how can I enrich myself? So the strategy is not, and again, this whatever kingdom thing is a bunch of baloney. That's not kingdom. That's power religion. That's satanic. And I don't hesitate to say that at all. I don't care about their confession of faith. I don't care what they say. It's what they do. And what they're doing is pushing for a kingdom of Satan. We're going to take it. Well, that's wrong. See, the idea is to do a good job in whatever area that God is giving this ability, and to as we support, as we create an environment for prosperity through our activities, reaching out from the small arena of activity that we all should have, we are supporting our oppressors in that way. But guess what happens? What if every Christian family in this nation began to do that? Starting with themselves and saying, I will bring my life under the authority of Jesus Christ. You know where we stumble as Christians? Right there. I know I do. Most Christians haven't done that, let alone brought their arena of activity under Christ's authority. They have not brought their own life under the authority of Jesus Christ. And we wonder why our nation is in the problem, experiences the problems that it does. Because we haven't done that. We still send our kids to the public school, for crying out loud. Well, we don't. But Christians at large do. That's the state church. But, we want them to be there to be, a witness. Well, they're not going to be a witness. They're going to be destroyed. And the evidence is in, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Look at our society and our culture. Are we getting better as more and more Christians are in the public school system? No, we are not. We're getting worse. We're becoming more befuddled. Samuel Blumenfeld, I think that's how you say his name, wrote a book many years ago, Is Public Education Necessary? I think it was in that one, that he described the worldview that one has once they emerge from the system. And he says it is a worldview, but it's characterized by confusion, especially for the Christian. Because the Christian is learning one thing at home and church, hopefully, maybe not, but at least he should be at church. And then he's being told something completely opposite in the system. When you try to reconcile those two, what do you get? Confusion. You cannot reconcile light and dark. So to support our oppressors, and here's what I really wanted to emphasize, we need a strategy. Individually, as families, we need strategy. And when I say individually as families, I'm not contradicting myself. The family unit is the basic building block of kingdom, of dominion. If you don't get it right there, you won't get it right out there. So the strategy needs to be, how do we get folks ready? And as that begins to happen, can you imagine this country, if every Christian tomorrow morning woke up and said, you know what? I need to live my life under the authority of Jesus Christ in every way. And they went down to their church that morning, and all of a sudden, everybody else is kind of like the Great Awakening. Everybody just showed up at church, and they're under huge conviction. But all the Christians in this town, for instance, showed up at this different churches, and they said, you know, we got to change things. I make a commitment that my life will be different starting today. I make a commitment that my family will be different starting today. And part of that is, do we want to start a Christian school here? Or do we want to help homeschoolers? We need to talk about this. We need to make some strategy. And on and on. You see where this would go? In a month, we would be rounded up and put in concentration camps under guard. That's what would happen. Because this nation would collapse. This country would not be able to sustain its current trajectory, I guess you could say, if all the Christians suddenly just stepped out of it and said, we're not going to participate in this anymore. We are going to take dominion in our arena of activity. We know there are certain things we should no longer do. We are not going to be like everybody else. Now, that's just one scenario. Maybe it wouldn't collapse. Maybe there would be turmoil. There's no question, because the public school system would collapse. And it would really, really scare the powers that be, because all of a sudden Christians would be doing things that they're supposed to do. Because the powers that be, the secular human society, the leadership that holds it all in place, they don't care what we do inside the four walls of the church, pretty much. They don't care about that. They don't care if it's personal piety. That doesn't matter to them. That's what they want. Spiritual, you know, the conversation I have, well, I'm a spiritual person. That's great. Everybody can be a spiritual person. But don't you dare let that spirituality show out here in the public arena. So the strategy has to be the recognition we are a people oppressed. That's the first thing that most folks don't even realize. Secondly, that we have a responsibility of a basic dominion within our arena of activity. And then we begin to move out into the community, upholding our oppressors, the whole system they've developed, the whole system that crushes those who would object to the approach that is taken in current in government, and support that by doing the best job, the kingdom job that can be possibly done. And as what that does is it keeps order. And here's what I'm getting at primarily is that to support, to pray for the peace of the city in which we're in, to pray for the peace of this nation is to pray that God would keep order until His order is established. By the iron fist, no. By the life laid down in sacrifice. And I got to tell you something. I do believe that there will come a time in this nation, because when you corner a rat, it's going to fight. And there will come a time in this nation when we will be required, maybe not this generation or the next, but we will be required to lay our life down literally. And say, I will not deny Christ. I will not do what the state calls me to do in whatever arena that would cause me to be disobedient to my Lord. But we want order. We want stability. We want to maintain freedoms. We want to have the freedom of movement and so forth, that we might bring the kingdom, realize the kingdom in this culture, in this society. Now, I mentioned that might mean we vote for, quote, the lesser of two evils. And that's true. I don't have a problem with that, frankly, if it's part of a long-term strategy. But and as I mentioned before, for most folks, it isn't. So what I wanted to clarify was the idea of supporting the oppressor is to obey the Lord and to bring His authority to bear in all areas of life. And the strategy has to be on a local, starting with a local level. I don't really think that an individual can come up with a strategy and say, well, my strategy is to vote for Team B because I think that, you know, whatever. We all make our decision as to whom we will vote for as we are led by the Holy Spirit. And we can do so recognizing that it may not be part of a larger strategy, even though there should be a strategy in place. And I think we can do so in good conscience. I'm not suggesting otherwise. What I am saying is that won't get the job done. At some point in our nation's history, Christians will have to actually wake up and say, you know what? Let's get organized. Let's begin to do the things that the Lord has called us to do in our individual households, in our individual life and household, and in our business and so forth. And let's begin to turn this nation upside down. You know, I could be totally wrong. I guess I just I have a nagging suspicion that it won't be a bloodless revolution. And by the way, revolution, I don't know if you realize this, but the term originally simply meant it was borrowed from the astronomers, but just revolving back to something. It didn't mean an overthrow of the current order to introduce something new. Think of the glorious revolution of 1688 with William and Mary. William, sometimes it's called the Dutch invasion, but the glorious revolution of 1688 was a revolving back to a Protestant nation in Britain, or the combined, well, I guess Ireland and Scotland and England were all involved. But the revolution was not a overthrow of an existing order to introduce something new, but it was a revolving back to. And the term revolution didn't take on its current meaning until the French Revolution, which was indeed a destruction of all order in favor of initially chaos. So I don't think it'll be a bloodless revolution, a revolving back to what we should be as a people. And we could go back to what we were as a nation at 250 years ago. But even that wouldn't be enough. So I don't know. My thoughts on that are that I'm totally out of time. My thoughts on that are that it could very well be a bloody revolution. Not that we take up arms, but that we lay down our lives. Again, I don't think it'll necessarily be in my lifetime or in the lifetime of my children. It will depend upon God's mercy and grace. It will depend upon what He sees fit. And it's going to depend upon how obedient His people are. If the Christians of this nation were to embrace a kingdom calling, a kingdom mandate, a dominion mandate, and do so wholeheartedly, we would overwhelm any opposition. And it wouldn't be too long before we would see godly leadership. If our strategy is to raise up people who understand how to apply the Bible to all of life, we would not be too long before we'd see godly leadership into positions, not to enforce Christianity, but to maintain a society that is friendly to Christ's gospel. We don't want to force anyone, but we don't want to allow anyone to stop the sharing of the gospel, to stop the scriptures from being distributed, from being read, from being posted publicly and so forth, and on and on. The idea is to simply remove law, not apply it, not to create it and make more of it. The Christian strategy should be to trim the legislation to a bare minimum and to bring glory to God in that activity. Now, this was supposed to be just an aside, but I got carried away, and I don't think I want to spend just 5 minutes on the section that we were going to talk about today. I don't have any idea. Don't know how much time I've spent already, but we're going to come back to Luke 23 next week. And I'll conclude by reminding you, much of this was just review, but my idea was to clarify the idea of strategy and clarify the idea of supporting our oppressors. What does that mean? And in both cases, it simply means to know God's word and to put it into practice. And that's my challenge to you. Get to know God's word. Look for ways that you can join with other Christians to begin to implement a kingdom strategy. But first of all, know His word and be in right relationship with Him. Those are the keys to successful strategy. Those are the keys to the dominion of the kingdom being realized on earth. Pray. Heavenly Father, we have...